Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brainstew Wrestling.
And with that, we welcome you to an all-new live episode of Brainstew Wrestling, live on BrainstewRadio.com.
The NXT Takeover the End special.
Wanted to play a little theatrical music for you tonight in celebration of Finn Balor, just because he put on one of the best matches you'll see this year. We just finished watching NXT Takeover the End of the Beginning right before he went live tonight. And Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, Mike, they delivered. I know you were on the road, so you didn't really get to watch the match. But
yeah,
Finn Balor and Samoa Joe concluded their pretty awesome rivalry inside a steel cage, which, by the way, looks better than the main roster steel cage. I'll just add that right there.
Yeah, I don't even know who won the match.
Samoa Joe defeated Finn Balor with a muscle buster off the top rope after he dragged Balor back into the cage from going over the top. It was fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that match. Those two are so fantastic. Like, I only missed two matches, though. I missed the women's title match, which I know Asuka won. And
yes,
I missed the main event, which I'm seeing now is phenomenal. Where are your hands up? Where are your hands up?
I will say this. I
also saw fucking Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really solid card. I'm not gonna lie here.
Oh, man.
Solid card. Only five matches, but they were solid top to bottom.
And I was surprised that the Revival won the tag titles, to be honest. Like, not because anything against them, just I thought if there was anybody who was going to be like a two-time champion for a title, it was going to be someone winning the world title twice or the NXT title twice. Like I don't know.
Maybe NXT has a very Ring of Honor feel to it where not that many, it's very rare that you might see a people with a repeat champion.
Yeah, it's very, like, it doesn't happen a lot. I do find it funny, though. NXT is kind of becoming like, there's newer, like, younger people, but it's also a mix of, like, the best of, like, Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan. Like, they're bringing a lot of talent in from different sources.
It's the exact opposite of Vince McMahon's obsession with muscly bound guys. And
yeah,
it's wonderful. There's a lot of different styles, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different talent in the ring.
How awkward must this be for James Storm, though? He went back to TNA after being in NXT. He's like, oh, Beer Money's back. And then Bobby Roode's like, screw you guys, I'm going to NXT.
So what were your immediate thoughts on NXT TakeOver, the end, dramatic pause,
this is the end
of the beginning?
So, or like I said, from what I saw, the tag title match was great. I mean, what a match. I also the last half of Ty Dillinger versus Andrade, and I've been excited for this guy for a while, so it was cool seeing some of the shit he can do in the ring. But I really do wish Ty Dillinger would be more than just the guy who loses to guys when they debut. Because he's like a solid talent, and he's got a gimmick that's over with the NXT crowd, which, yes, I get it, doesn't always translate to being over with the main roster crowd, but just give the guy a chance. So,
We do have a little bit of video from some of the matches. Obviously, I'm not going to try to take directly from the network, but this is what WWE posted on YouTube. And with more video they post, the more we'll play to them, because we have the advantage of being a video streaming.
I do want to point out, too, I'm not surprised. I mean, I thought American Alpha was winning, but I'm not surprised they lost, because word is they're getting called up pretty soon.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people called up soon.
Yeah, apparently they're calling up like 13 talents over the course of the
year. All the more merry, because while SmackDown's going live, they have to call up more talent to get a little more diverse with the talent pool.
And you know, that's what they're going to, there's going to be a lot of signings happening. I don't know why they're firing some of the people they did. I mean, Cody Rhodes asked for his release, I get that, but I don't get why they're firing some others.
Here we go. Here is Ty Dillinger on NXT TakeOver, which just finished on the WWE Network. So we could have this going in the background. What were your thoughts on this match, Mike?
Again, like, there was a lot of really good spots here. There was one. That one was sick. There was a couple that Andrade had. I forget what his Lucha Underground name is, but he's got that pedigree. Like, he's one of the first guys they signed away from Lucha Underground. And Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger is so underrated in NXT. Like, his 10 gimmick is going pretty well, but yeah, he's the guy who is the first opponent for a lot of the debuting, like, stars. There was one spot that, I think the spot coming up, like, that's shown here. That, yeah. That was crazy. That was my spot of the match.
You will never see this on the main roster.
Those who are watching, listening to audio, he pretty much did a cart. Like, Ty Dillinger just kind of bent over at the corner, and Andrade did a kind of like a somersault and then kind of like a flippy like leg drop to the back of Ty Dillinger's head. And it was a great looking spot.
There were a lot of great moments on NXT TakeOver Dallas, the end of the beginning. Here is some footage of the American Alpha, aka Team Angle. Okay, I don't want to say that. Versus the Revival.
I mean, listen, I said that.
Oh, I know. I'm totally repeating your jokes here. What were your thoughts on this one, Mike?
Again, really good match. A surprise ending, which I guess is good, because let's face it, a lot of the people we expected to win won. But this was kind of a good throw a result out of left field one, and I think one of the right matches to do it on. Like, I don't think they should have did it for either of the two title matches. I don't know. Like, they were in a weird spot with Aries versus Nakamura, because they're both legitimate guys that just debuted.
Right, but as you know, Mike, from watching that match, the crowd was much in heavy favor of Nakamura.
Yeah. I mean, both guys, though, Austin Aries and Nakamura, were really, like, getting crowd support. I mean, because everyone forgets, Aries was considered at one point the best Ring of Honor had to offer. Like, he was considered better than Punk, better than Bryan, better than a lot of people. He went to TNA, which unfortunately happened to a lot of Ring of Honor guys. And now he's here, but, like, you know, because he was in TNA land, there was a lot of, he had a lot of support there too, because they're in Florida where TNA tapes. So it was a pretty even crowd, like a respectful crowd. For what I'm glad about it for once is that the Full Sail crowd didn't take over the show.
No, they didn't. They weren't that rowdy, but they were still lively and supportive. Like, they were like a,
okay,
I think they were a very mature crowd this time. I think they were well behaved for as far as like how rowdy NXT crowds can get.
Yeah, my problem,
I mean, look no further than NXT Brooklyn last year.
No, there's a difference between rowdy and what the Full Sail crowd typically pulls. Like, they pretty much make the show about them. Like, with the chants that are, like, taking over the show. Like, when they will randomly, for no reason, just go, "Hey, we want some Bayley." And, like, even when she's in the ring, like, and they would overdo the chant to the point where it got distracting and, like, noticeably pissing off other people watching the show. Well, so I'm glad there were no...
I mean, my sentiments, I mean, I agree with the audience, but, like, after a while, it does get a bit boring and a bit distracting. I will agree with you on that. Yeah. But my favorite thing that I must be an idiot because I just noticed, the crowd was singing along,
yeah,
to Nakamura's theme. It was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. I was pointing that out. Like,
as soon as I heard that entrance, I'm like, yeah, people are going to sing to this.
Yeah.
People are absolutely going to sing to this, just like how they did with Sami Zayn.
They did it with Sami Zayn. They did it with Becky Lynch that one time when she lost against Sasha Banks.
It's great. And throughout the match, too.
Yep.
Just to pump up, they started singing his entrance theme, which is great. I love when the audience does that. I think my favorite, though, is still a few years ago when Fandango got ridiculously over with the New Jersey crowd.
Yeah, oh, that was fantastic. That was so good.
After WrestleMania 29, I believe. So since we brought up the Nakamura match, what are your thoughts on that? I thought that match was stellar.
Yeah.
I thought that match was fantastic. I thought both Austin Aries and Nakamura delivered a great performance, both individually and to each other.
I think it might have slightly edged Nakamura versus Zayn.
I don't think so.
But I
might have to watch the match again, but I'm leaning towards that Nakamura versus Zayn is better than Nakamura versus Aries.
Again, either way, whichever way I end up making a final decision on which one's better, it's slightly, whichever one is better is slightly better. Like, it's not one of those things where it's like, this one was by a mile. No, both matches were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Both matches were some of the best matches NXT will have to offer this year. And both involve Shinsuke Nakamura.
You know what? I cannot wait until July 2nd, speaking of Nakamura.
Why is that?
I think they're doing a network special from Japan. And Nakamura's match is versus Kevin Owens.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, that's going to be a super conflict of interest.
Okay, but the big surprise tonight, let's get right into this here, Mike. You saw this. I was not able to see this live, but I did see Twitter. I saw the Twitter universe explode when this happened. Mike, what happens here?
So, oh, this is the tag team debut.
Yes, but this is also the
Paul. Yeah, Paul. So I forget who. I think this is like a foreign tag team. I forgot the names of them though, because they didn't really. They were like kind of playing them as mysterious guys on there. But so this is a new debut. They attacked American Alpha. They'll probably like feud with American Alpha on American Alpha's way out of NXT. But yeah, they're a power tag team. Let's face it. And then
what a way to make an impact. I'll say that much.
It's tech guys who just lost the tag titles. And then out comes Paul Ellering.
Whoa! Who is that? Tom, that's Paul Ellering. That's Paul Ellering, one of the greatest managers in the history of our business. He managed the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. This guy is synonymous with great tag teams.
Obviously, the WWE NXT crowd does not.
He may be the greatest manager of all time.
Obviously, the WWE
crowd does not know who the fuck he is.
Crowd does not know who these people are.
Like, come on, how do they not know who Paul Ellering is?
I think they might have been changing that to the tag team in the ring.
But, like, you know, they could have, like...
All I know is we are going to see some answers on next week's NXT.
Yeah, which will be taped tomorrow.
Well, I'm sure we'll be finding out what happens via the internet. What happens? But NXT is one of those shows where I really don't care if I know what happens. I'm going to watch it anyway because I know the matches are going to be good and everything's going to be consistently amazing and more entertaining to watch than the main roster.
By the way, WWE Creative Humor about this event.
Oh, man, they were on a roll tonight. Not that they aren't always on a roll, the people who run WWE Creative Humor on Twitter, but, man, tonight they were really good.
In the end, Samoa Joe is still champ. But what about Bobby Roode? Tune in next week to Impact Wrestling. Wait, hashtag NXT TakeOver. They're great. Getting so many. They are really getting so many former TNA talents now. Well, we haven't seen a Muscle Buster that.
No, I'm sorry. The difference is WWE gets TNA, former TNA talent that actually has an established name and actually is on the rise.
They don't.
TNA gets WWE has-beens that are on their way out.
Yeah. They're always like, hey, Drew Galloway, you want to work? You want to win a title? Come on, buddy. They fired you.
You want to be put over immediately?
when WWE released a run of stars they released recently, TNA was contacting
TNA was salivating at the mouth, like, oh my god, yes, sign him, but with what money? Oh, they'll work.
TNA are like the wrestling equivalent of American Pickers. Like, that's what they are. They go to the same dumpster. They're like, hey Vince, can we buy some of the pieces in this dumpster?
They're dumpster divers.
They really are. Like, they're like Lady and the Tramp going, they're like the Lady and the Tramp dog date. Were they in the dumpsters at the spaghetti place? Oh, man.
Yes, they absolutely are. TNA is so goddamn awful.
Oh, they're terrible. I haven't seen a Muscle Buster that devastating since Triple H tore his quad. Another Creative Humor tweet.
That's good.
Oh, God. Why is John Belushi attacking that mime Vince McMahon quote from Creative Humor?
There was something along the lines of, all they have to do is to, like, climb out or whatever, and they tweeted at Vince McMahon, not so fast or something like that, meaning like any NXT talent gets a call to the main roster, instantly buried. But speaking of burials, I mean, normally we would break here and go into Raw recap, but first off, before we get anywhere, final thoughts on NXT TakeOver The End.
Another great card by NXT. They've been, like, killing it with these special events. I don't think there's been a bad one yet. Like, their events are on par with, like, New Japan Wrestle Kingdom events or, like, Ring of Honor, like, their main ones. They're on par with those. And they're getting a lot more established talent because they're going to be calling up a lot of people. So I think the End can be considered a transitional takeover. So, like, a lot of the people who were winners are going to be the guys going forward who are going to carry the torch.
You realize when WWE first revealed that the name of this takeover was called The End, everyone was freaking out, like, oh my god, is this the end of NXT? Is Vince squashing NXT? Is Vince killing the brand? Yeah. I'm like, no, they're not. That's their breeding ground for new talent. Vince might not give a shit about NXT, but he would be stupid not to keep it going. So, relax, people. NXT is here to stay. They're just transitioning to a new era. And cool story, bro. Check in chat room. We missed you last week, pal. What are your thoughts on the NXT TakeOver The End? So, I think we could both unanimously say here, Mike, NXT TakeOver The End, solid programming.
Yeah.
Solid.
Really good programming.
Solid show.
I missed the main event, but that Nakamura Aries match was great. And Bobby Roode.
I will say this. After last week watching that amazing, amazing match between Ricochet. That match.
Yeah.
I watched it again to just make sure I wasn't going crazy with, like, I don't know what the term I'm thinking of is, but the term where people, it wasn't like a summer romance. It wasn't a quick flame. I want to watch it again to really make sure that when I said last week that is your no question match of the year, that we meant it. It absolutely is. There's no question about it.
Hemi wanted to make sure if it was real, if the love he had from that match was real,
and it is still real to me. Damn it, that is your match of the year. But I will say this. Nakamura and Austin Aries, they made a top five match of the year so far for me.
Yeah.
And Nakamura and Sami Zayn again.
Like I said, the July Network special is probably going to be the next match of the year with Kevin Owens versus Nakamura.
I cannot wait for that match.
Oh, man. I kind of hope they have Kevin Owens go down there to NXT to fuck with him for a little bit.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean, it'd be a good thing to do. I mean, granted, it's right now at this point beneath Kevin
that
Owens.
That is, of course, if what we think is going to happen at SummerSlam is planning on happening.
Which one of the ones we said is planning? Oh, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens cashing in and screwing over Cena.
Kevin Owens. Oh, man.
That's what we think might be happening at SummerSlam.
How great would that be? Because Cena would win. Like, they'd be happy because he beat Reigns, but they'd be like, fuck, Cena had it 16 times. And then Owens comes out being the dick troll that he is and takes the belt from Cena. How great would that be? How impressive of a first year and a half would that be?
By the way, I think we're transitioning now to our Raw recap, so I'll start off with this. The opening of Monday Night Raw this past week was hilarious. I mean, you had Kevin Owens breaking the fourth wall and trashing everybody's persona.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, you're doing this now? Okay, that's nice. I'm going to be blah, blah, blah. And Ambrose comes out and is like, why are we all on ladders? Can we just get to fighting, please? Because that's what we're all here for. That was great. It was really awesome. And when John and Teddy Long, by the way, I just wanted to briefly mention this. Teddy Long made a surprise appearance that made Twitter go insane.
We're going to make a tag match.
So here you go. Here is what that event on Monday Night Raw. Welcome the participants
in this year's Money in the Bank. That's kind of weird, though. They're all on ladders.
Yeah, I don't know why they have everything. Why do they have everyone up on their individual ladder?
Zayn got a huge pop there.
Of course, Zayn got a big pop.
Dario is getting hate because
your boy Cesaro had a few good jabs.
Yeah. Hey, Lillian. Guess what, Lillian? You don't need to do that. Everyone knows who we are. See, because we're all big stars. Well, except for Sammy, of course. Nobody really knows who he is. But the rest of us,
he is fantastic.
We're all pretty famous already, aren't we?
I'm the most famous one in the entire arena tonight. Hell, I was saying I was famous before I even knew I was. And that's why I am the best
in the world at what you do. We know you say it every week. We know. You know what, Chris? After the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, we're all going to be even more famous.
Kevin Owens is a fatter Deadpool. That's what he is.
We have the Money in the Bank contract, and all of you will go down in history as the guys who watched me win it.
Yeah, that sounds great, dude. You got it all figured out. Cool. Very proud of you. But hey, can we just get to fighting now, please? I mean, that's why we're all out here standing on ladders, right?
Don't forget this. Just being in this match with me, one of the greatest of this generation, puts all of you on a different level. And so now, I want all you to relax on your ladders. Yeah. Join in.
He's
with all these
so smart.
And the
Not going to lie, though. Jericho in this Jericho and all these people in this match have amazing chemistry with one another.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Ambrose to go at Jericho.
They all have great chemistry with one another.
Owens and Zayn going
this
right.
This is setting up to be, again, the IC title / now assuming world title picture between all these guys is setting up to be the feud and the matches of the year for WWE.
Yeah. Like all these guys have been feuding with each other.
So here's Teddy Long's return.
Wait a minute. Wait, what? You're kidding me. Holla, holla, holla.
He's back.
That's fantastic.
The player, Teddy Long. Theodore Rufus Long is back.
Get it, Teddy.
I love it.
I got the word that SmackDown is going live on Tuesdays.
Boy, he ended that up because he botched that big head.
Bones?
Yeah.
You don't even work here anymore, it's Teddy Long, you stupid idiot.
Stupid idiots everywhere have Not to be yet. Offended at Jericho.
But you see,
you stupid
if I
idiot.
Was in control and this was a live episode of SmackDown, then I would take all you players and I would make a disqualification match, a six-pack Iron Man challenge match.
What?
Or a tag match.
Players, there must be a winner.
Teddy Long. Former general manager.
Stephanie comes out and basically says, what are you doing here, you senile old man?
Pretty
what
much.
Are you doing? You know what Teddy Long reminds me of? He reminds me of the old-time announcer who is now in a nursing home that can't help but announce things.
Yeah.
He's the guy in the nursing home that gets out.
He's like the GM equivalent of R-Truth.
Oh my God, he is.
Oh, my bad.
R-Truth, that is your future. Teddy Long is future R-Truth.
My bad. I thought
when he came out thinking he was in Money in the Bank last year. You're not in the match.
What, is he going to rip off the X-Men storyline? Tag team matches of future past now? Is that what he's doing?
He looks like way Boo. Thin, though, now, Teddy Long.
Yeah, the suit he's wearing right now.
He looks like Apocalypse.
What do you mean he looks like Apocalypse?
A little bit of, or, like, or.
This, look at it! Look at the size of his jacket! That jacket's way too big for him. What the hell's going on with him?
Or a rail-thin version of Panthro from Thundercats.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good one. So that was Teddy Long making a surprise return on Monday Night Raw.
And Cool Story Bro is right. Jericho should copyright Stupid Idiot.
No, because DonaldTrump.com already exists. See, guys, I can make fun of Republicans.
Cool Story Bro... Oh, yeah, you say one line, and all of a sudden you're fair and balanced. Shut your face.
Ham O'Reilly's here to do commentary on Brain Suit Wrestling.
See, I made one remark about conservatives. Ignore who, and by the way, one who's not even a conservative. He's just pandering. Like, not even a true conservative. He's just, you know what he is? He's the guy who supported liberals, and he couldn't get nominations, so he started spewing stuff that the conservatives are fans of hearing. And now, all of a sudden, he's conservative. That's the one Hammy goes after. Not an actual conservative.
All right.
But, you know, meanwhile, he makes one remark, and his Facebook feed looks like Breitbart. So, anyway. Little Matt, I am not implying that at all, actually.
Hambart Network coming soon.
Hambart.
All right, so let's get to the big reason why I loved this past week's Monday Night Raw. That exchange between John Cena and AJ Styles was amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
John Cena, sir.
You guys thought this was a moment that never would happen. For 15 years, anybody who knew anything about sports entertainment, the best they could do was say, well, what if? What if? And finally, we were about to get an answer to that question, but now I need an answer to another question. Why, AJ, why? Why, with the excitement boiled over, with everybody on their feet, with the table set, with a WrestleMania dream match right before your very eyes, why the hell did you take the easy way out? So now, what we have is a chance for AJ Styles to explain himself. So can we please have AJ Styles?
Because I had a plan.
Not gonna lie, Cena had a really damn good promo before he called out Styles. WWE, where we got the video from, on their YouTube channel, like, heavily edits their videos. But if you watched this segment, I gotta admit, John Cena has impressed me greatly since he came back. And the promo he had with AJ Styles was some of the best I've ever seen from Cena.
Yeah.
Can we say that Cena is John Cena at the true? Is this like where he peaks in his career? Is this like the best he's ever been in his career?
Yeah, I mean, he had a good run.
Past few years with John Cena has been actually enjoyable. I've enjoyed watching John Cena.
He had a good run. He had a good run when he was U.S. champion, the most recent run.
Brought the U.S. title back to relevance.
Yep.
And now it's back on Rusev, where he's going to lose to maybe someone like Kalisto again.
Yeah.
Remember when Rusev was unbeatable? Yeah, me too. And then he feuded with Cena. Which brings me to the reason why AJ Styles just won the internet in his exchange. I don't know if he says it in the edited version right here, but here we go. Here's the exchange between AJ Styles and John Cena.
And that plan was to get in the ring with you, shake your hand, look you right in the eyes, and punch you right in the face.
Yeah. So I know the crowd's going to be solidly behind AJ for that match. I don't care what
And
they
it worked to perfection. You insult me, John Cena. Not with what you're doing now. No, no, no. That's what you do. You're great on the mic. That's what you do. You're great on your little morning shows and your late night shows, your movies, not necessarily the ones you star, but your cameos are very entertaining.
In his defense, he was excellent in Trainwreck.
But you insult me every time that bell rings. And I know, John, it burns you up inside that even on your best day, you can't beat me.
Nice little call out. Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you the same things I told my kids when they asked, Dad, why haven't you ever wrestled John Cena? It's simple. John doesn't want to be in the ring with me because I would run circles around him.
Oh.
I see a man who worked 2 decades to try to make it on the grandest stage of them all, and then finally was a surprise entry in the Royal Rumble and did nothing.
He lasted longer than quite a few people, John.
Yeah.
At the WWE quite Championship and failed.
Well, it's because he failed to make Roman look strong. That's why.
And instead he made him look too strong. Man, shaking it off, dusting it off, and getting right back in the action. You started to second-guess yourself because every one of the little cronies you've been surrounding yourself for the last 20 years have been saying you're God's gift to sports entertainment. But you get here and you're a bust.
Bust?
What?
Hold on.
AJ Styles a bust?
No.
Perhaps if you just strictly talk win-loss record, possibly. But really, who gives a shit about win-loss records in pro wrestling, unless if it's The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak.
Yeah, a bust in WWE.
And Goldberg's undefeated streak, which ended with a taser.
Yes. Not a bust. The guy lasted very long in the Royal Rumble, beat a lot of named stars, had a WrestleMania match with Jericho, was number one contender for the title twice.
And has considerable amount of merch sales.
Yeah. Like one of the top merchandise sellers.
And is one of the most over stars in WWE in very quick time here.
Yeah. Like you can't, like, feasibly.
So AJ Styles, not a bust in WWE. Not a bust at all, John.
No. Whoever wrote that, don't let them write your
promo. I'm sorry, not John. You're just saying what the writers told you to say.
You're a puppet.
Proud of yourself for the last 20 years have been saying you're God's gift to sports entertainment. But you get here and you're a bust. So you look to the one guy you think you can take me out is going to save your ass. You can walk around these halls with your head held high and say, I belong here. Dude, that's not phenomenal. That's freaking desperate. I want to make something clear with you right now. You couldn't get past Roman Reigns, and now you picking a fight with John Cena? You do not know who you're dealing with.
At this point, I made a, well, that's because, yeah, you don't know who you're messing with because you're going to get instantly buried the minute you feud with Cena. But then, to my amazement...
So, Mr. Phenomenal, quit ducking the question. Why on earth is it not AJ Styles versus John Cena? Why is it now John Cena versus the club?
Because everybody who knows this place knows that once you wrestle John Cena and lose, it's time to get out the shovels because guys like you bury guys like me.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
What?
No one says this on camera with as much
shit
enthusiasm and as much truth and anger behind the voice as AJ Styles just said to Cena.
He's right, though. The only person to really survive losing a feud to Cena is Kevin Owens.
And lose, it's time to get out the shovels because guys like you bury guys like me.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
As soon as he said that, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, boy, he must... There's no way the writers gave him that to say. He must have been shooting from the hip there. Because, look, and for those of you who may not know what we're talking about here, look at any feud John Cena has had over the past at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Even go as far as 10 years.
Like, the indie guys who didn't get buried by Cena, like, didn't, you know, are the ones who pretty much won their feuds with Cena.
And the people who even did win their feuds with Cena were already at that level anyway. No young guy or no young indie darling talent has ever feuded with Cena, lost, and still remained a fan favorite, except... Kevin Owens,
the only one.
He's the only one who it, you know what it is?
Not lost the match, lost a feud.
Lose a feud, like if they have three matches together, at least three matches together, and they lose two of the three. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
He's not, because we've talked about on a previous show, who has beaten Cena clean 1-2-3 without any outside interference? And
not
the
many.
List was very short.
And Owens was one of them.
But if you were to make a list... If you were to make a list of people who have feuded with Cena, lost the feud with Cena, and still maintained their high-level popularity and camera time and not buried on the card,
yeah,
Kevin Owens is the only one that survived that.
I think, by the way, I think Finn Balor debuts and joins the club. Like, there's rumors they're going to expand the club.
Why wouldn't they?
I'm thinking he's going to, like, debut... Pretend he's helping Cena, but cost him the match.
Little Matt in the chat, what are you talking about? All the Nexus guys are stars now. Yes, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing that the Nexus, all the Nexus stars are not high-level stars now. I'm not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying is anyone who has a long feud with Cena and loses a feud with Cena is... whitewashed into the back, like they're nobody.
He was being sarcastic.
Oh, I know, but still, no one that feuds with Cena and loses a feud lasts.
The only yeah,
you know what it is? Feuding with John Cena is like the Madden cover of professional wrestling. Kevin Owens is the guy that broke the curse.
Well, we'll see. Depends on what happens with AJ over here.
I'm sorry, I gotta hear this one more time.
It's time to get out the shovels because guys like you bury guys like me.
I want to hear the crowd's reaction to that.
Oh, that's one of the best things I ever heard. All right, I'll stop stopping it this time.
It's time to get out the shovels because guys like you bury guys like me. And these two right here, well, they're my insurance policy. They're going to make sure that AJ Styles' head stays above ground. John, you have no idea
Cena looks stunned
who you're dealing with.
John Cena alone.
So as the club is about to go NWO on Cena, crowd favorites, the New Day come and align themselves with Cena, which, why? Why?
Come on, New Day. You see what happened with Crime Time Cena Nation.
You understand what happened? Like, John Cena is a black hole for your stardom in WWE. Whether you feud with him or whether you align yourself with him, you get buried no matter what. No matter what happens.
Yeah.
You work with John Cena, you get buried. It is a it's an indisputable fact.
Even if you're his workout partner.
Yeah.
Matt, that was massive. I knew that was sarcasm. Is Cena appropriating black culture? Is little Matt wants to know.
I don't know. When he was a doctor of thugonomics.
Just basic thugonomics. No, he was a professor of thugonomics. He taught basic thugonomics.
All right. All right. So what is this that you sent me?
So, kind of bypassing Raw for a minute to. So they did a director's cut of that bad Matt and Jeff Hardy video starring other guys from TNA, like EC3 playing the Matt Hardy role.
Right.
And I think we should hear some highlights from that one because, like, he wears a white something over his head to look like Matt's blonde streak.
Time.
Just play it. This needs to be.
Again, this is on TNA's official YouTube channel.
Yep.
And this is not a parody.
Well, no, this is a parody of the Matt and Jeff thing.
Okay, but TNA still released it as in like... Because the difference is, a parody, the original source material has to be good first. It has to be good to warrant a parody.
Yeah. Trust me, this is...
Yeah. We're leaving. He's crazy.
Brother Nero, you've arrived.
The hotel workers are like, why are you people doing this? You know,
Brother
Nero,
listen. As I have composed,
you know, we need to serve the guests that are coming in here at late. look at the girl in the background, please. Just going like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Like an EC3 doing the Matt Hardy mannerisms from that bad video.
Good to know that TNA is parodying shit with shit.
Call Eli Drake's room. Eli Drake.
Brother Nero. A contract for your Armageddon stating at Slammiversary that you shall befall to me. Me, the
master. Look at the people checking in the background.
Yeah.
Those are just people checking in to their hotel room.
Yep.
It doesn't even look like a nice hotel. It looks like a hotel that you would see at an airport. It looks like a Holiday Inn Express. Oh my God, there's random people just checking into the hotel.
I'll give it, EC3 is fantastic. Like, he was
Admit, EC3 is doing the best he can with this, but oh my God.
A contract for your Armageddon stating at Slammiversary that
people
you shall befall to me, the master of our success, me, the architect of our success, me, the creator of our success.
He's got, I like that he's the white,
he's got toilet paper in his hair.
As like Matt's blonde streak.
Look at the hotel security guard on the right of the video. Just going like, why are these people here? And I thought people from Comic-Con were weirdos.
So then he does a whole little walk thing. Where he tries to do like the mysterious Matt Hardy walk that he The toilet paper on the head kills me. Is that like, he's got like actual tape over his eye too.
You know it's sad when the parody is more entertaining to watch than the actual contract signing. I like the audio quality here. You get the sound of those vending machines freezing really well.
Yay. What? Would...
So you gotta get that too, huh?
Eli Drake's like, alright, I guess I gotta press the button for that.
Cool.
He's...
This is so bad, it's good.
This show is meant to be bad. With the Matt and Jeff Hardy thing, they were trying to make that, like, great character development. But it was horrible. He's, like, thinking that...
Brother Nero, this is where it all began. And this, Brother Nero...
Watch this, what he does here.
Began for us in a bed. And why do you have your shoes on my bed anyway? Come on, man, get off.
No.
Come on, man.
I did the mat bad part of
it. Here is the contract for Matt's anniversary.
It's not a contract, that's a shot list for the stupid video.
Is it? Here it comes.
It was Brodus Clay.
Acting as Remy Sky with the fake baby.
Wait
but
for it. They're coming. Here they come.
Hey, Nero.
Bro, I'm out of here. Now watch.
Why? It's fine.
He's moving the table.
What? What? Come here. I'm not doing this. When you go to bed, just come here. Go to your room.
Come here.
No, man. I'm not doing this.
I'm speechless.
So. Speechless in a good way.
I don't know if that was the greatest thing I've ever seen or the absolute worst, and I'm dumber for watching.
The worst thing? Really? Really?
Wow, they even took shots at the original video.
Yep.
All right. You know, I like this way more than the original.
So much better.
And the TNA universe, if you want to say, thinks so too, because this video has 89,047 plays, 1,897 likes, and 102 dislikes. So it's up there. It's very well liked. So yeah. Let's the top comment, it says incredible. Another top comment, TNA is trolling the haters so great right now. I fucking love it.
So, another bit of news. Luke Harper is going to be out for a while, not because of injury now, but Luke Harper has been cast in a new horror action movie called Mohawk. So, he's going to be in some movies. And it's not a WWE film, so it might be good.
Wow, it might actually be watchable.
Now, one thing we should mention... because he interacted with wrestlers. Like, he had some... he's not a wrestler, but, you know, it's a big story. Muhammad Ali passed away this past weekend. As far as the...
On an even bigger note, Kimbo Slice passed away, too.
Stop. Stop it. It's not... No. Just... No. No.
We lost a true icon with Kimbo Slice.
No. 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 I will spray you with water like a cat. Like, But like, so he's done some of the like wrestler versus boxer matches. Like he famously did one with Antonio Inoki. And people joke that it was like the rare time that Antonio Inoki did not no-sell.
But unfortunately, what people didn't know is that match really was one of the biggest driving forces that made mixed martial arts into a sport.
And also like that matches like that, and I think he also had one with Andre the Giant too.
It was showmanship and athleticism.
Yep.
And it evolved to what mixed martial arts was and is today. You had Muhammad Ali boxing, like everyone knew, like that's a real fight. But what if they could do more things with their bodies like wrestlers can? But wrestling's we know it's predetermined. Here comes mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
So Muhammad Ali was not only a humongous influence in both the boxing ring and honestly the wrestling ring too, because he had quite a few run-ins with WWE. The biggest one of all was the referee in the main event of the first WrestleMania. I mean, there's a whopper right there.
Yep.
But also, like, no one can deny his outside accomplishments from outside of the ring. No one can deny it.
Yep. You cannot. You cannot deny
anything. I mean, regardless of where you stand politically or, like, if we're studying, like, the times back then, but... when he dodged the draft and like stuck by his guns and stuck by his beliefs, it was awe-inspiring, honestly. Like, Ali was a guy who did not give a fuck about what anyone said, because he was going to go with his beliefs whether you liked it or not. And
yeah, he actually, I know Ali actually had a match to with Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, he did too. I mean, an idol, an icon, both in the boxing ring, the wrestling ring, and even arguably the political ring. I mean, and when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's and his health was slowly fading away, we knew this was coming. And last week when we found out that he was in the hospital with respiratory problems, I'm like, oh boy. Because he was on his way out. So, like, the blow of him passing away was, to me at least, a little bit less severe, because we knew it was coming.
Yep.
And
now,
man,
the big story that we'll talk about for the last couple minutes of the show.
Kimbo Slice.
No, stop it. Brock Lesnar.
The man has a family.
Brock Lesnar is going to be returning to the UFC for UFC 200 against Mark Hunt.
Yeah, I was watching UFC 199, and as soon as I saw Lesnar's voice, as soon as I heard Lesnar's voice and saw the clip, I'm like, oh boy.
He's facing Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt's probably going to knock him out.
Oh, Lesnar, if we're thinking just from studying and watching MMA, we don't even dare to call ourselves experts on anything, but from our experience watching MMA, Lesnar, on paper, should get his ass kicked by Mark Hunt.
Should.
But if we remember, look at Lesnar's first two fights and look at Lesnar's last two fights with MMA, with UFC. Completely different Brock Lesnar. He wasn't at 100%, and I'm making an argument for Brock Lesnar to win here. He wasn't at 100%. He was battling his diseases. He was sick. He couldn't compete and train at 100%. He was sidelined. But he's healthy. He has come out and said that he personally feels like he's in the best shape of his life.
Yep.
And he said it took a ridiculous amount of money for Vince McMahon to keep him from going back to the UFC. Mm. And from what we heard, since Lesnar is currently under contract with WWE, there must have been a clause
in
his contract that says he can return to the octagon if he wanted to.
No, not when he wanted to. I think there was a deal made between the UFC and WWE where they're like, all right, you can use Lesnar, but...
Well, I think we'll find out for ourselves. I don't think we know all the details of his contract, but there is a clause there where that said he can't fight for the UFC, which is insane.
Oh.
Insane.
Yeah, I think they're going to bring Ronda Rousey.
Because WWE and the UFC, to each their own, are notorious for their no-compete clauses.
Yeah.
Notorious.
Before we go, real quick, a couple Twitter activity. There's a picture from the CMT Awards of Rusev and Lana, and... But we mentioned Paul Ellering in the crowd chanting, "Who are you?" at Full Sail. Kevin Owens tweeted in response.
Oh, boy.
Also, the Full Sail Arena chanting, "Who are you?" at Paul Ellering is a great example of why I'm glad I don't wrestle there anymore.
All right, guys. I know we entered with this song a few weeks ago, but
this is the
it was a theme song to NXT TakeOver tonight, so... A Day to Remember is gonna play us out here. Thanks, guys, for listening. My name is Hammy at Hams Grouper on Twitter. He is at Hipster Punchy.
Yeah.
We are at BSR Wrestling. On Brainstew Radio, follow Brainstew Radio. And the podcast, as always, will be posted shortly. Thanks, guys, for listening. Have a lovely evening.